Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
It's Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE. I'm Eric Thiel. We're listening back to highlights from our CMS Board Candidate Forum held Monday night in partnership with the League of Women Voters Charlotte-Mecklenburg. 13 candidates in all joined us for a spirited evening of conversation, moderated by our education reporter, James Farrell.
Hello, good evening. So without further ado, we're going to get started here with District 1. We have board member Melissa Easley, Bill Fountain, and Charlita Hatch. Thank you guys for coming here tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Board member Easley, if you'd like to begin, you have 1 minute. And again, Eli's in the back there. He'll hold up when you have 10 seconds left.
Great. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. My name is Melissa Easley, and I am your Democratic incumbent currently sitting in the seat of District 1. I am a 19-year veteran educator, and I have two students in CMS, and I have been an educational advocate for over a decade now, pushing for North Carolina to have better schools and to treat our teachers with professionals. I taught 10 years in CMS, and I have two students in our choice programs here in CMS, and so I'm really, really proud of that. I am the only candidate that has board, teaching, and parent experience, and I think it is really, really important to have all three of those aspects because those are the top three things that we look at. I've also been very instrumental in helping with the immense amount of growth that we've had in CMS, and I look forward to earning your vote tonight.
I'm Bill Fountain. I'm a Christian, a father, grandfather, also a husband first, all right, and then a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, a business manager, and a licensed North Carolina teacher who I taught for 10 years. What I've seen is over the years, I've seen that the CMS school board seems to be pushing things to the board of social and political agenda that is undermining our family values, tolerating code of student conduct violations, and steering some people toward a victimhood mindset. I say, hey, it's time to stop that. It's what we need to be doing is focused on things that work, and that's better behavior in the classroom, and I think of developing character, things like resilience, your self-control, those type of things. And I have the leadership, teamwork, and in the classroom experience to be able to start preparing students for success. And success does not mean leveling the playing field.
Good evening, everyone. I am Charlita from Charlotte, and I am so proud to be your Democratic endorsed candidate. There are three things I want to kick us off with knowing. One, I am so proud to share that I will be defending my dissertation on Monday at 9 a.m., where I have been studying for the last 5 years why families are choosing or not choosing CMS. And I think that voice is critical right now, when we think about the state of public education and the dismantling we see happening before us, we really need to think about how do we recruit and reclaim families back as we restore our public trust. Two, I am currently the Chief Data and Analytics Officer for the City of Charlotte, where I'm responsible for our business intelligence and artificial intelligence strategy, where I think every board needs someone that has AI expertise as we think about how do we do this responsibly, ethically, how this will shape the way our teachers teach, our students learn, as well as how our organization will run. And lastly, I believe that we are in a crisis. And as we think about how we navigate through that, we want to make sure that you have a leader that's not just advocacy, but solutions oriented.
CMS recently celebrated historic academic growth across the district. There were also some rough spots, like third grade reading scores, which were down, and graduation rates, which were slightly down. I'm wondering if you could reflect on what this year's results say about the progress CMS has made and how CMS can continue to improve. And this time, Charlita, we'll start with you and go in reverse order.
I think that one of the things that we can say about our student achievement scores is that the work and the leadership from the superintendent is working, the direction in which the district is going. I think we do need to expand the conversation from just student achievement to student opportunities, because we know that when opportunities are equitable, then that will also level the playing field for achievement, specifically in District 1, where there is a disparity, where you have schools that are A schools and F schools. We really need to do a deeper analysis with our data to understand what opportunities are happening at the highest performing schools that are not happening at our lowest performing schools, and have some critical conversations about how we can level those playing fields so that we can have achievement across the district.
Bill?
Well, I applaud the improvements in the staff in the student performance. However, you need to look at a couple of things that are troubling to me. It's about 44% of the students are not meeting about 44% of the students are not proficient at grade level. And we've also seen that, and through Arthur Griffin, in fact, pointed out the fact that we are socially promoting students. If we got like 2,100 of 9,700 students in the 2024 graduating class had a GPA below 2.0, and that means that they're not going to be able to be enlisted, enrolled, or employed. And that's not very good for it. And we need to focus back on something that, instead of leveling our student outcomes and doing social promotions, we need to make sure these students are prepared for the future. And that's the reading, writing, and math. And those things, I think, really need to be turned around. And I don't see that happening right now. Thank you.
Over 100 years, we have not had gains like this. I contribute that to several things. The first thing I contribute that to is the stability that Dr. Hill has brought to our district. A, that is the number one thing. You know, I taught in the district for over 10 years. I went through 7 superintendents. There's a lot of difference when there's a lot of turnover like that. Dr. Hill has absolutely brought stability and strategic plans to the district, which is incredibly important. The second thing I think we've done is our board, including myself and all the rest of the 9 members, have truly held Dr. Hill accountable to what we want and what our goals were. And that is asking strategic questions. That is being part of our SOFG. That is being involved, not just on a surface level, but really diving in and understanding what is being done, where is it being done, who is it being affected by. And so those are things that I, as current board member, have done and have held and have been very strong in holding people accountable in our district, and I continue to do that. The only way these numbers are going to continue to go up and those achievement gaps are going to continue to close after historic gains is if we keep moving in the right direction and we keep doing the same things that we're doing. Is it perfect? No. Are we where we want to be? Absolutely not. But the ship is righting, and then that is taking a full team of all of 20,000 CMS students, teachers, staff, and us as board members to work together to do that.
So in the last budget cycle, there was some debate on the board about whether CMS should ask Mecklenburg County for additional funding to fund a higher teacher salary supplement, even as a bulk of teacher salary is typically set by the state. We have no budget from the state at this time, and there has been some uncertainty from Washington in terms of federal education funding. Given this continued uncertainty in state and federal revenue sources, going forward, do you believe Mecklenburg County will need to play a bigger role than it already does in ensuring schools are adequately funded? And Bill, we'll start with you this time.
Well, I think there are two levels of things. One is the teacher pay, which you're exactly right, that needs to be increased, and having a larger supplement. I think, from my perspective, is that the bureaucracy within the CMS school system has really grown versus the number of teachers and the number of students. And I think some of that could be trimmed to be able to supplement teacher pay and to reduce the class sizes. The other thing is that we can argue about how do we get more money from the state or from the federal government. That may not be able to solve the problems, but there has been another thing has been mission creep within the school system. In fact, several years ago, there was 3 teachers that were interviewed by the Charlotte Observer, and one of the things they said, hey, we are not psychiatrists, we're not counselors, we're not policemen, we're not nurses, and yet their teachers are being expected to be able to do that, and that takes up a lot of their time, and they said, hey, we're not getting even paid for that type of job. So there's been a mission creep that the school system should offload a lot of that things, I think, onto the county.
So I think one of the things that I believe is important as a board member is that we stop talking about what we can't do or what we don't have control of and really start to think about what we can do and how do we provide innovative solutions to doing that. So, for example, as you think about the CMS Housing Initiative, which was a brilliant way to figure out how do we continue to add value to our teachers and to our school overall, and I think we're going to have to see more and more of that come not just on the county, but also figuring out how do we solve that problem with public-private partnerships, because we know that there's uncertainty between the federal and state, but people do not care what you cannot do. Students for sure do not care what you are not able to do. They want to know what you can do, and I believe with the right people at the table providing innovative solutions and building relationships across the aisle, we will be able to not only sustain what we have, but I believe we can see growth.
Melissa.
So in full transparency, which is, you know, one of my statements, I was one of those that voted against the budget. And I did that because several months earlier, in January, February, we had a board retreat where all nine of us and staff agreed that we should ask the state in our legislative agenda for an 8% raise. And that was something that would be a significant raise to our teachers, because let's throw it out there, student achievement isn't going to happen if there is not a qualified teacher in front of them. That is the only way to move the needle. And so when all of this is happening, we need to make sure that we're putting the right people in the position that is willing to go to bat and say, listen, our educators are starving. Our educators are not getting what they need. And the only way to get the results that the state wants to see is to have an educator in every room. So yes, I think the county is going to pick that up, not because they want to, not because they feel they should, but because they have to. And because our county commissioners, we have amazing county commissioners that know how important our education is, and how, and so they are willing to sacrifice other things to make sure that our teachers are taken care of as much as they can. But that also goes to the advocacy point. We need all of us together. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. It doesn't matter what you think. The education is the great equalizer. And without the county, we would not be able to do what we do in CMS. And so they are 100% behind us, but I think it's gonna take them, it's gonna take us as community members, it's gonna take our staff, it's gonna take everybody to raise up voices and say, enough is enough, it shouldn't be the county's problem. So yes, I think the county will step up because that's who they are, not because of us demanding more or anything like that.
You're listening to highlights of the WFAE League of Women Voters CMS Board Candidate Forum. We've got a break coming up in just a moment, but first, the opening remarks from District 2 candidates Shamaye Haynes and Juanrique Hall.
I came here tonight not to play around. I came here tonight to tell you that I want your support, not because I can go out on Twitter or Facebook or tell you anything about who I am, my background, and what I stand for. I come here with receipts. That's the beauty about having a digital footprint when you've worked in this community for a decade. Go Google me. You will see what I've done. I don't lie about my name, my address, my background, where I stand, and who I stand for. I only have a minute to tell you that if you want somebody who is competent, not only competent, but has done their homework, vote for Shamaye Haynes if you want change. Thank you.
Thank you. Juanrique.
My name is Juanrique Palamente Hall. I'm a father and a grandfather. I've been married to my wife for 30 years. We have four kids. I'm a certified aircraft mechanic. I'm a certified diesel mechanic. I'm also a college coach up at Livingstone College. I'm over player personnel and youth advocacy. The reason why I'm running for school board is simply because I want to see kids do better. I was a troubled kid, and I know what it is to be a troubled kid, and I know how to deal with kids. I know how to meet them on their level and make them understand that sometimes people can say things and talk over you and make you feel less than. And that's the person I don't want them to understand that people are. I'm a multicultural candidate. I'm the type of person that don't draw lines in the sand, but I draw circles around people to bring us together.
Back in a moment with more from our CMS Candidate Forum. This is Charlotte Talks.
Support comes from WFAE listeners and Habitat Charlotte Region. Since 1983, Habitat Charlotte Region has partnered with more than 5,000 families through financial education, homeownership, and critical home repair. More information at habitatcharlotteregion.org.
You are listening to a special edition of Charlotte Talks. I'm Eric Thiel. You're hearing highlights from a CMS board candidate forum held Monday evening in Uptown by WFAE in partnership with the League of Women Voters. Education reporter James Farrell is speaking with District 2 candidates Shamaye Haynes and Juanrique Hall.
The Trump administration has made efforts to eliminate so-called diversity, equity, and inclusion policies at schools across the country. This has led to federal investigations of some school districts and cuts to certain grants. How should CMS respond to this federal policy change? And Juanrique, we'll start with you.
Well, you know, I'm a football coach, so that right there is crazy because everything I do is based on your performance on the football field. If you're not doing well, you're not going to play. So we make you get better at what you do. So only thing I'm saying is if you want to get better, you got to do better. You got to study hard, and you got to set a goal for yourself and prioritize your things you do in life.
I think what we have to come to is we know what we're up against federally. And unfortunately, we're not in control of what takes place federally, which one of the cornerstones of my platform is community involvement. Unfortunately, the bad news is no one is going to save our ship anytime soon. So as a school system, what we got to look to is our community to say, listen, we don't have teachers and mental health professionals and things like that. And so what we try to do is we try to identify solutions that equip our community. As a person who, my great-grandmother built 10 one-room schoolhouses between Athens, Georgia and Mount Bayou, Mississippi. And at that time, we were in a very devastating place as black people. They would hang the teachers and burn the schoolhouses down. But children still learned because we cared enough and we examined things enough to build in a system where no one was going to help us or take us from that. So what I'll say is, community, I will call on you to help us. I will call on businesses. I will call on others. And also, let's not ask people to pull themselves up by their bootstraps when they don't have boots. Thank you.
What would you say is the biggest need facing the schools in your district specifically? And Shamaye, you could start.
So District 2 is not spoken about as it was 10 years ago. District 2 was the brunt of CMS. It was known as all of the failing schools in one district wrapped in one in all. And we've made some strides. But again, I'll put this point out there. Our community wants to partner with the schools, and we have to set up structures and foundation to support heavy volunteerism, welcoming, being a part of the school where your children attend or maybe not even attend. It's okay to say we want community in the schools and families in the schools, but we got to create the foundation for that. And that's where the school board really comes in. You can count on me for that. I've already started that process. Thank you.
Thank you. And Juanrique.
Well, in District 2, we have a bouquet of schools. We have Northwest, we have Northwest School of the Arts. That's one of the best high schools in the city of Charlotte. And it's on Batesford Road. And then we have West Charlotte, that they're making strides. We got West Meg, Hardin, Philip O'Berry, J.T. Williams, Montessori. But each one of those schools come with their own particular problems. And like I said before, we have to address each school as an individual school, see what problems they have to help the kids and the parents in that sector. Because at the end of the day, a kid at Northwest School of the Arts might go home to power. A kid at Hardin or Philip O'Berry might go home to no power. So we have to understand that all of these kids can't be lumped into one pile and think they're going to achieve. It just don't happen that way. And we got to stop trying to wave a wand and make everything all beautiful. I'm here as a transparent person. I'm not trying to do nothing but give you understanding.
Thank you.
And real.
Great. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Again, it's District 2. Now we'll welcome the candidates from District 4, which is candidate Robert Edwards, candidate Jillian King, and board member Stephanie Sneed. So first question is, why run for the school board? Jillian, if you'd like to start.
My name is Jillian King. I am a veteran career and technical education teacher. I taught various CTE classes in middle and high school in CMS. I left when I had my daughter. She is a rambunctious toddler who will be joining our public schools here in a couple of years. And so I've learned a lot about the early childhood education and development on that side of things as well recently. Some of the things that I stand for is safety is my number one priority for all of our students. All, meaning all, no exceptions. And safety encompasses mental, emotional, and physical health. The other thing is transparent communication and making sure that we have our lines always open to anyone who wants to reach us with accessible answers.
Robert?
Of course, I'm Robert Elwes, and I am, 20 years in education, higher education, K-12, and I'm currently an EC teacher that works for CMS, and I've been active for a while in leadership positions, making decisions and working for other agencies with accreditations and also just working with youth, at-risk youth. And this has been ever since from college, working with at-risk youth and mental health, those with mental health needs. And also, too, that the reason for that I'm running for this position is because I believe that this is now a time in life that we really need leadership in position to make sound decisions that are not corrupt, that's not wavering in their thought, that are able to hold others accountable in their actions to make sure that everyone, all the students are going into the direction that they need to go into. So that's mainly the reason why I'm here, because I believe that I'm that person that can make that happen.
Thanks. Stephanie.
Good evening. My name is Stephanie Sneed. I have the honor and privilege of serving as the chair of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Board of Education, the 16th largest school district in the country, with 19,000 employees, 141,000 students, 186 schools. Why am I doing this? Because the school board, as I say, if you've heard me speak before, is the most important elected body in the state. And why is that? Because what happens with children in our schools shapes generations. It has generational impact. Anything that you can name, I challenge people to this, that you think is an ill of Charlotte, I can trace it back to education. But about me is that I'm an attorney, practice in the area of labor and employment law, as starting my career in the area of child protective services. I am a CMS parent, a current CMS parent, have lots of community experience in the space of PTA, CMS volunteer, Girl Scout leader, education committee member from the Black Political Caucus, as well as chair of the Black Political Caucus at one point. I've served as my voting precinct chair. So I've done the work and laid the groundwork to gain the experience of what is needed by the community and the expertise of bringing my experiences to the school board.
Thank you. I'd like you all to reflect on what this year's results say about the progress CMS has made and how CMS can continue to improve. And Stephanie, we'll start with you this time.
So I want to just say, when I say we've had historic gains, that means historic. And I just want to highlight a few of them so it's not lost on what we really hear about. We removed 31 schools from the low performing list. We have 156 schools that met or exceeded growth. We had 115 schools with the highest, that have exceeded growth in the highest highest percentage in CMS history. We are outperformed North Carolina in overall grade level proficiencies in third through eighth grade reading, third through eighth grade math, and math 3. That's historic. That is historic. So that we need to sit in that for a minute to say that the work that is being done is working. Are we where we should be? Absolutely not. Do we still have achievement gaps? Absolutely. Or is there more to additional work to be done? Yes. We only have 6 schools remaining out of 186 that are F schools. Next year, those schools won't be on the list. They won't. So we need to sit in those achievements because it means something. It should not be glossed over. And we do have more work to do.
Okay, yeah. Of course, being an educator and being in CMS and working and being a part of the process, yes, there have been a great improvement over the years. But I believe that in order for us to really maintain this and take it to the next level, that we need to have people positioned in place to be able to kind of to make sure that things are moving forward to, in that direction. Also, that in order for that to be, for us to be really to move to that next level, there are a lot of things that internally that may not, that still needs attention, that we, that a lot of times it is overlooked, or either is the elephant in the room. So I believe that mainly that just, we just need to really focus on a lot of things that teachers, parents, and community members are kind of crying out now for help and support in certain areas in order to keep things going, because I know that even though we're still at a great place right now, that they can kind of go south real quick if we're not sitting down and looking at where we're at and really just covering every areas, not just the big areas, but just the small things too, because I know that the small things, the micro things, can really cause big damage.
Jillian.
The increased test scores have been amazing, and there's merit in that, and we should celebrate that. But I think that's all we've really done for about 2 months now. And looking at that data, we need to think critically about it. That's what we're missing when we focus so heavily on just raising test scores, is this critical thinking piece. What does that data mean, right? If we have lower graduation rates and higher test scores, does that mean that we're missing a piece that involves mental health for our students? Things that make them, are we taking out classes that bring joy to their lives in our schools? Things that keep kids in schools, right? Keep them there till graduation. What do these test scores mean for our teachers and their burnout level? As a teacher in the classroom, I can tell you, like, there's lots of great ways to raise test scores, but those aren't the things that matter, these standardized test scores. There's merit in raising them, and that's fantastic. But we need to think critically about the data, and we need to be measuring success for students, for schools, for CMS, in more than just test scores.
In recent months, many residents have spoken out about concerns about the potential for federal immigration agents to visit schools given changes to federal policy. CMS has set new regulations around how it deals with immigration enforcement in response. In your view, has CMS appropriately responded to this change in federal policy? Stephanie, we'll start with you.
So I do want to be very clear about something. One is, ICE has not been on school properties. So that's number one. The second thing is the communication. So there technically has not been a change in our guidance, in the sense of you can't just enter our schools. You can't loiter in the parking lot. You can't just sit on our property. And we have painstakingly gone through the process, and I went back and looked, at least on half a dozen occasions, reached out directly to parents to say, this is how your students will be protected. This is how your students will be protected. Now, are there other things, information that's out in the community that is inaccurate? Absolutely. Are we fighting against that? Yes. There have been training videos to our staff, training videos to our staff from principals down to the front desk staff. We are committed to making sure our students are safe and feel safe, including providing mental health support in those particular areas. But the reality is we have to be careful on how we balance what our communications are. We don't want to be in a situation where we're inviting activity on our properties. That's important. But we have the procedures in place and have communicated those to be sure that ICE is not just allowed in our classroom to snatch children out of our classrooms, that they can't come onto our school buses. Those are things that are critical that we have, as a board and as a district, have looked into. How can we protect our students?
Thank you. Robert. Okay.
Give me the question one more time, please.
Yes. Given the CMS has recently set new regulations around how it deals with immigration enforcement, in your view, has CMS appropriately responded to the change in federal policy about allowing ICE on school grounds?
Okay, yeah. In my view, and of course, from the inside, speaking out, that as it relates to dealing with immigration and the policies and all the and everything else, that I believe that CMS have done a good job in implementing that and holding true to that. I work at a Title I school with a high percentage of immigrants. And we have not, I have not personally witnessed anything that it revolves dealing with ICE, and the students appears to be safe, feel safe compared to how things was when everything, the whole immigration or ICE situation had took place. Now moving forward, will that take place? Anything go south? I can't say because we're not at that point. We just haven't had any incidents. So, but I think that we continue to do what we're doing right now and just making sure that our students are the top priority and that they are protected and that they, that the learning environment is not disrupted by any outside, such as ICE. I believe that we're going to be okay in that area.
Thank you. Jillian.
I'm glad CMS has done something, but there's a lot more that can be done. A lot of schools like Wake County, Carrboro Schools, Durham Schools, have safe zone resolutions that they have in place, which have added protections. Essentially, you ever just make something really, really obnoxious to do, and so people don't really go through all the hoops? Essentially, it adds some of those extra annoying things that agents would have to do to make sure that they do all these approvals and they go to the superintendent's office and all these extra steps to get these things through for before they could even speak to a student or family, right? And then also it has where SRO officers, the school resource officers, or any police person employed with CMS would sign agreements that say that they would not cooperate, that they would not ask about immigration status, they have no authority to do any of the tasks that agent may come to do. There's also stipulations in there about handing out Know Your Rights information to students, to parents, making sure that that's readily available on all of our campuses, and having that safe zone resolution posted at all of the campuses so that everyone knows what the school system needs to be doing to keep our students protected. Because there is more we can do, and we need to put in those added assurances, because if people are scared and they're coming to the school board and they're saying that our community doesn't like this, that you haven't done enough, we need to listen to that, and we need to address it and do something about it.
Great. Thank you all. That's all the time we have for this one, so thank you very much.
It's Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE and WFAE.org. You're hearing highlights from Monday night's CMS Board Candidate Forum. And a note, in District 3, Dee Rankin is running unopposed. Therefore, we did not host a District 3 conversation. Back in just a moment with our District 6 conversation. It's Charlotte Talks.
Support comes from WFAE listeners and the Gambrill Center at Queens, presenting Earthwise, a public series exploring our connection to nature through science, film, art, literature, and lived stories, part of their Connected Campus program. More at gambrillcenter.org.
It's Charlotte Talks. I'm Eric Teal. We're listening back to our CMS Board Candidate Forum from Monday night. Here's our District 5 and 6 conversations.
I'm Cynthia Stone. I'm a Charlotte native. I was up in the school system as a student. I parented as a parent of two adults. And I've most recently retired from an elementary classroom in CMS in December of 2023. So I taught during COVID. I returned to education after about a 25-year gap in corporate, because my values drove me to a classroom. Education is the one thing that can eradicate poverty. I believe that, I live that way, and I went to a classroom because education happens in the classroom. So I hope you consider that when you think about District 5.
Great, thank you, Cynthia. Lisa.
Thank you for sponsoring this tonight, James, and for the League of Women Voters. It's a privilege and an honor to be here. I have 45 years of educational experience. After I was elected the last time, my son made a sign for me. It's in my office, my whys, the students, the families, and the teachers. I spent my time here in CMS, 30 years, not only as a teacher, but as an administrator, a parent, I served on the PTA boards of my children's elementary, middle, and high schools all the time while I was teaching. I also now serve with Charity League of Charlotte, where we sponsor Title I schools, and with Rotary, where we sponsor children within Mecklenburg County. So my job is 24/7 as a board member and why I do this.
All right. Across North Carolina, there have been longstanding concerns about teacher vacancies and turnover. What should CMS do to bolster recruitment and retention efforts for teachers, and how can the board support these efforts? Cynthia, you can start us off.
I had a corporate career that also involved hiring new people, recruited, and it's built an intern program at Royal Insurance. So I kind of have an understanding of how recruitment works. One thing I think we also need to recognize when we talk about recruitment is that most of the salary money now is directed towards new hires from the state. So the district, the school board, needs to work with county commissioners to make up the gap for experienced teachers, I was one, that go several years without a pay increase. So the supplement maybe can be used, because not only are we competing for teachers with all our surrounding North Carolina counties, we're also competing with Fort Mill, we're competing with Rock Hill, easy commutes. They've got a better salary scale. Period. So how can the county commissioners and the school board get together to make up for some of that gaps? Certainly appreciated the comments about the pathways to the classroom, and that is definitely something we can look at seriously to ensure that qualified teachers, especially with the younger children, are in place. It takes a long time to learn how to teach.
Lisa.
When I was in CMS during the time in the mid-2000s, we had lots of people coming to Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools. We couldn't keep them. We had a plethora of teachers. I would like for us to look at that. A lot of it comes not just with the salary, which right now there are 49 counties that border states, and we are losing to Virginia, Tennessee, and South Carolina. It's no bones about that. But we need to look at the housing initiatives that CMS has started. We need to look at working closer with the county commission and saying, yes, we need more for our supplement, because we do not get the supplement that the state gives other counties. We have to provide that. So we need to work closely. Our superintendent does a great job of working with the county commission, but we need to work even closer and get the parents involved in the community. We have a strong relationship with the CLC. Business partners need to become more involved in looking at retaining teachers. It is a shame that when you have more than 15 years of experience, you're not getting those step increases. I worked under those conditions. I would like to have a higher retirement. I know Ms. Stone would like to have a higher retirement.
Yep.
But the state froze us. So that's something that we have to look at. It is imperative to do that and keep our teachers here in Mecklenburg County.
Great, thank you. We only have a couple minutes left, so try to keep these answers as brief as possible. As communities across the country weigh the importance and debate the importance of public schools, how can CMS engage the great majority of community members who do not have children in the district? And Cynthia, we'll start with you.
You know, like I said, I am a native, so I want Charlotte, my hometown, to be the world-class city that we aspire to be. The way we're going to do it is make sure that companies who look at Charlotte and this region to move here recognize that our schools are world-class schools. So we've got some work to do on that front. There are so many good things about our schools that don't get publicized, but we also have to face the fact we got some warts we need to put the freeze on and deal with that. But that's what we need. I feel like that's what we really need to be doing.
Lisa.
We've already started with the CLC, with the business community. We are working closely to build the reputation of CMS. We are the 16th largest district in the country. We are with the Great City Schools Consortium. We are started. We need to continue that. And that's what we are doing right now. There are members here of the CLC who are here supporting us. I thank you for being here. That is what we're doing to build that relationship.
Great. I think we can squeeze in one more. There's a little less than 2 minutes left. What are the biggest needs facing the schools in your district specifically? And Lisa, you could start us off.
Getting students back in CMS. District 5 has a lot of children who left during COVID. I want to see them come back. Many of our largest private schools are located in District 5. Some are in District 6, but they're close enough to District 5 that they'll go. I want to see the parents say, my first choice is a CMS school.
Cynthia.
I agree with everything Lisa says about what we need to be doing, but I also want to hedge this with a little bit more emphasis on student mental health. We're at a crisis point. We need to make sure we provide the supports young children, elementary children need, because a lot of the issues that the kids are facing as high schoolers actually start very young. And if we recognize them, we identify those mental health issues they're facing, maybe they'll be better equipped. Growing up's hard, and they need all the support they can get.
Thank you both so much for being here tonight. Thank we appreciate you. It. Next, we have our final conversation of the night, which is District 6. This seat is currently occupied by board member Summer Nunn, who is not seeking re-election. So we have three newcomers, candidate Tony Emmahel, Anna London, and Justin Sheely. Thank you all for being here today. We really appreciate it. Tony, we'll start with you.
So I am Tony Emmahel, and I am delighted to be a candidate for District 6. To find out additional information on me, I'd encourage you to go to my website. That is aimhighwithtony.com. Also, for a lot of information on my background, WFAE has just recently published some responses from me regarding different things that I've done in the community and the different positions that I've held within CMS schools. I am running for this seat along with two candidates that do not have a personal investment in District 6. One particular candidate is running with a corporate initiative in mind. She has absolutely not been forthright in the reason why she's running. And so safety shows up in many forms. I believe that we have some vipers that have slid into our system that cause distractions for our board with the school system.
Anna.
Good evening. Thank you all for being here when it's dark and cold and rainy, and thank you for hosting this. So I am Anna London, and I started my career as an educator 16 years ago. I taught pre-K for a few years while getting a master's in counseling, and then I was a counselor. I did crisis intervention and behavioral health, and then for over a decade, I have strengthened this community through workforce and education. So I know firsthand how critically important a strong public school system is to a thriving community. I believe in making sure every single student is prepared for life after graduation, so making sure they are employed, enlisted in the military, and or enrolled in post-secondary. And when I say prepared, I don't just mean in words, I mean in achievement. I also believe in building back trust with the community through clear, consistent, transparent communication, building back trust with the families and the community, and then also fighting for higher teacher pay and fully funded public schools.
Justin.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Justin Sheely. I am a parent, husband, soon-to-be foster parent, and I am a family law attorney that practices in North and South Carolina. I have dedicated my professional career to advocating for the best interest of children. I not only handle divorce cases, but I handle high conflict custody cases, child abuse and neglect cases, and I'm a guardian ad litem. And as a guardian ad litem, my job is to advocate for the best interest of children. A lot of my cases revolve around parents' concerns about the education system, both in Mecklenburg County as well as in South Carolina. And I have dedicated my career to making sure that what's in the best interest of our children is what happens to them. So I do have a vested interest in this community. I'm a parent and a soon-to-be foster parent whose children will be enrolled in Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools. Thank you.
In the last budget cycle, there was some debate on the board about whether CMS should ask Mecklenburg County for additional funding to support a higher teacher salary supplement, even as a bulk of teacher salary is set by the state. Meanwhile, there is no state budget, and the federal government has withheld federal funding at certain points in the last couple months. Given this uncertainty in state and federal revenue sources, going forward, Do you believe Mecklenburg County needs to play a bigger role than it already does in ensuring schools are adequately funded? And Anna, we'll start with you.
Sure. So as was mentioned, this is what always happens whenever we start with District 1 and go to District 6. So I think there have been a lot of great answers. I agree that Mecklenburg County could play a greater role. I also agree with what was also shared with continuing to scale public-private partnerships. I think that Dr. Hill, the current school board, and others have done a great job with building credibility in the community, and I think that the historic gains have also shown that that Dr. Hill is credible, that the current school board is focused on the right things, and that our educators are focused on the right things. We just need to continue moving forward. So I do think there's opportunity for the county to play a greater role. I also think there's opportunity, like I mentioned, for increased public-private partnerships. Over the last few months, I've had a lot of conversations with educators who have talked about, of course, higher teacher pay, but they've also talked a lot about being valued in the community and feeling like they're not as valued in the community as educators and staff were, like when I was a child growing up here. Our teachers were our local heroes. And so I really think, yes, there's opportunity for the county to play a higher role or a greater role. There's opportunity for teachers to make higher pay, and we do need to advocate for that. But we also need to do a better job of just valuing teachers in the day-to-day, in our day-to-day community and day-to-day life. So different activities that whether it's the CELC or other corporate partners, you know, tickets to games, supporting different incentives so that educators feel like the community sees the difference that they're making too.
Great, thanks. Tony, we'll go to you next.
As a board member, the board is responsible for making policies. And so I believe that at least one of my opponents is in this race and has connections to a couple of vendors, not just Sid Kimmel Consulting, but also Charlotte Works. And the goal is to be a part of the board to strengthen their position and influence of the policies. Now, this is the information that the public needs to know. This is the element of deception that comes when elections come. Now, I'm not saying this because it's not true, it's evident. It is evident. And it is so critical to the family that is behind both of these organizations that they actually sent me a cease and desist letter for intimidation purposes. Okay? So let's talk about it. And it does, it makes you uncomfortable, but these things are real. And the public needs to know this. There has been absolutely a connection between the candidate and both organizations.
Thank you, Tony. And I want to make sure we get to Justin's answer on this, too, but I also want to give Anna an opportunity to respond for in about
I'll yield my time
so.
To Anna.
So I made a commitment to run a clean and respectful campaign, and it is really disappointing for one of the candidates to spend their entire time focused on distractions, false narratives, and misleading information. And I refuse to participate. I am who I am. I am in this for the right reasons. And I will continue to be respectful and lead a professional and clean campaign. I do not have anything to do with the contract that continues to be referenced. Absolutely nothing to do with it. So it is really unfortunate that there continue to be distractions, misleading information, lies, and false narratives when our community cares about these kids, these educators, and what's best for our community.
All right. Justin, we'll go back to you for the question about whether Mecklenburg County needs to
You don't
to
need
play.
To repeat the question. The short answer is yes. I do believe the county can do more, and that's not to diminish the role that they are already playing. But as we've seen, our state can't pass a budget. The federal government is shut down. So nobody's coming to save Mecklenburg County. We've got to do it ourselves. So if the county can give more, they need to do more, and that's my answer.
All right, and I think that is all the time that we have here. Thank you all for being here tonight. We really appreciate it. And yeah, that was our last race. Thank you all so much for coming out. We really appreciate it.
That wraps up our special episode of Charlotte Talks, listening back to highlights from our CMS Board Candidate Forum from Monday night, held in partnership with the League of Women Voters Charlotte-Mecklenburg. Back tomorrow with the local news roundup. This is Charlotte Talks. Charlotte Talks is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Gabe Altieri. The senior producer is Sarah D'Elia. The producer is Chris Jones. For more information on Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or to subscribe to the Charlotte Talks podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at mazdaofsouthcharlotte.com.